Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Glad you tuned in. Thanks for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise Hour 2. And I just got to tell you, get on your bike, put this song on, and pedal. It is awesome. Really glad you tuned in today. We just had an amazing time with Wayne Peterson, having him in studio. He's a radio icon, man of God, lost his wife this past year, and just shared his journey of just falling in love, marrying Norma, losing her, and what grief is like, and how faithful God has been. And if you missed it, if you just tuned in, you might want to catch the podcast on our website, myfaithradio.com. Now, this hour, we're going to talk about co-parenting and helping your children thrive after divorce. So maybe you've gone through divorce. Maybe you love someone who has. Boy, this guest today, she's the person to really help equip and bring a fresh perspective. I don't want to waste another minute. So let me tell you about Tammy, and we'll get this conversation started. Tammy Daughtry is the founder of Co-Parenting International, an organization dedicated to addressing the critical impact of co-parenting on children of divorce. She's an author, marriage and family therapist, and national advocate for children of divorce. She has over 14 years experience in co-parenting, and she currently lives with her husband, Jay, in Nashville, Tennessee. Together, they're raising a blended family that includes four children and one rambunctious black lab. And you can find her on the web at coparentinginternational.com. And Tammy, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you with us again today.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's wonderful to be with you.
So we love, as you know, to start our conversations talking scripture and wondering if there's a passage that God's been speaking to you about these days, or maybe a life verse you'd like to share.
Absolutely. Well, in thinking about those that are co-parenting, in that context, it's a hard journey. I know I've been walking it for 14 years. There's a great scripture in Lamentations that I've come to hundreds of times over that journey, and it's in Lamentations 3, and the whole section is verse 17 to 24. But in general, what the writer is saying is he is struggling. He has forgotten what happiness is. He says his endurance has perished. His soul is bowed down. But then in verse 21, he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And then the close of verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him." And that speaks deeply to the heart of a single parent, someone who's hurting, who never saw this coming in their life. God is our portion, and he is faithful. And I can say with 14 years experience, he will not leave us. Hmm. His mercy is new every day.
I know one of the translations of, I think it's that verse 20:21. It says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." And I think that is such an important promise, because there are times when it feels like your problems will consume you. And
right.
they maybe burn, they burn bad, but we are not consumed by them. And if you don't mind, give us some backstory. Because I know being someone who's divorced was never, of course, your plan. But if you don't mind, just share your story and what God taught you in it all.
Sure. Well, my story starts a little further back. I was raised in a broken home, as they would say. My parents were high school sweethearts, but before I was one, they were living separately. And so I grew up with living with mom full time, visiting dad every other weekend. And most of that was manageable. But one of the parents really struggled with unforgiveness, with anger and rage, really. And pretty much every opportunity they had to put down the other parent, they would take that advantage. And I love my parents, and I am not here to point fingers, but my story starts as a little girl who was living in a co-parenting family. And And so as I grew up, the one thing I wanted to do was get married for 100 years, have the traditional family, the picket fence, four kids, and the thriving, fulfilling marriage. And when I found myself 14 and a half years ago, facing a hard fork in the road, becoming a single parent, going through a divorce, I truly thought that it was over. And I could not see, you know, more than a step ahead how I was going to, you know, where was I going to live? Where was I, where was I going to raise my daughter? How were her dad and I going to make this work? And I was on a search as a mom, just looking for resources on how to work well with her dad, how to not stay angry, how to not put her in the middle. And eventually, 4 or 5 years after my own divorce, that passion of my soul wouldn't go away. I couldn't find resources on co-parenting. And so God eventually said, Tammy, do something. Speak up for the children and help divorced parents find a roadmap. So I, you know, I am not here to say I have a one-size-fits-all answer to every painful situation. But that childhood of living between two homes, two cities, walking that journey from as far back as I can remember to now, that's really the place that God has used to therefore be a voice for kids. And my own daughter, she's, if you were to meet her today, she's almost 15. Her dad and I have been co-parenting 14 of her years here on this earth. And she would tell you she has four parents, six step-siblings, and about seven animals between the two houses. So I can say that God redeems. And it plan A, B, or C, I didn't get those first wishes, but God still redeemed the pain, and he still gave me the ability to step forward in a healthy way and to raise a daughter who's really thriving and to therefore spend my life talking about these complex parenting solutions, because I tell you, none of us ever grow up thinking we're going to get married and become a co-parent. It's hard enough to try to get married and make that work, and as I could see years back, there were no tools on this. I couldn't find solutions that were Christ-centered and helpful. And so that has become my calling in life, is to try to help, you know, co-parents raise healthy kids. It's complex, but I walk the journey along with everyone else that we try to help.
It's such an important message. Just last week, we had Bonnie Gray on. She wrote a new book about finding your spiritual white space. And she's this high-achieving woman who all of a sudden started to have panic attacks and anxiety and went to counseling and was having a post-traumatic stress response to childhood trauma from her parents who divorced. And she started to unpack. She didn't want to go back there. She's like, I'm already achieving. I'm doing well. But obviously she wasn't, because her emotions and her body were just bringing this up for her. And one of the stories she told was when, because her mom was just raging angry at her dad, and the dad took the two girls out to shop, and the mom had said, do not let him buy you anything. And the dad, just innocently not knowing that, it's like, I want to get you guys a toy. And the younger sister's like, yeah, I'll take a toy. And she's like traumatized even by the request. And her dad kept saying, no, let me get you something. So she picked something, had anxiety the whole way home. Once her mom opened the door, she yanked the toys out of her hand, threw them, and brought her daughter in, made her go through the photo album and take out every picture that had the dad in and cut it to pieces. Now, I mean, to tell you, I'm listening to this and my jaw is on the desk and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so that was one of many memories that have traumatized her. And so when you think of divorce, it's rarely clean. It's rarely pretty. It's because there's irreconcilable differences. So would you say it starts with deal with your heart and your unforgiveness, or where do you start?
Well, gosh, that's a tough, there's not a clear cut answer. I would say a couple things. As I look back, you have to find a way to get stable. And first, you know, that could be even in the separation. You're not even living in two homes, but you're about to go there. You've got to have a healthy support system. And we can unpack that a little more, but you've got to have support for you. I do believe that forgiveness and processing the pain and finding a healthy way to release it comes with time. And it is the best gift, not only to your children, but to yourself. And that was one place I know I, when I stood at that fork in the road, I knew I had a choice. I could be angry and stay angry, or I could ask God, take this anger, take this away, because I do not want to carry this into every future day of my life. And forgiveness takes you know, takes process. It takes time. It doesn't come overnight. But I can say that as I did ask God to take away the anger so that I could see clearly moving forward, that was, I believe today, one of the greatest gifts I gave my daughter. Because as I let go, then I was never looking at her dad through those lenses of anger and hatred. I was looking at him as her father. That's, you know, someone she wants and needs in her life. And so it gave me freedom. It gave my daughter freedom. And it's rippled into all, in a very positive way, into all of the aspects of co-parenting. But the other thing at the beginning, when you're trying to find your foothold, be careful what insight you're getting, who you're trusting for your information. I work with couples who are divorcing in a counseling setting. Just today I worked with one. And their attorneys have pitted them so deeply against each other, cut off all communication, and really they have taken it from a workable divorce and made it into a war. So being careful, how do you step into that place and who do you trust to guide and direct your decisions? Those are really important things in the beginning, to have emotional support, to work towards forgiveness, but to be careful that you've got healthy professionals helping you make the decisions that are ahead of you.
Talking to Tammy Daughtry today, the title of her book is Co-parenting. Co-parenting Works, Helping Your Children Thrive After Divorce. We've got three copies to give away to someone who, to those of you who get on the air, maybe you've got a question, maybe you've walked through this and found something that works and you can offer some wise advice to somebody who needs it today. Otherwise, I feel Tammy is just a storehouse of wisdom. If you're navigating these tough waters, you can call even in anonymously if that feels better for you. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can email me otherwise, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Three copies of Co-Parenting Works. More with Tammy Daughtry in just a moment.
The toughest thing about co-parenting is really just emptying yourself of yourself, and making sure that you're focusing on serving the needs of the children and fostering their own understanding of their role in the family.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise, talking to Tammy Daughtry today about her book, Co-Parenting Works, Helping Your Children Thrive After Divorce. Maybe you've got that experience and you've learned how to navigate these waters. We'd love to hear from you. Again, if you feel like you need to call in anonymously with either your story or your question, please feel free to do that. Tammy's just, as I said, a wealth of wisdom, and just really glad to have her with us today. 877-933-2484. Mike is calling in from Minneapolis. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hello, Tammy and Susie. I'm a guy that called you about a year ago when you had this topic on.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, I'm still out here. And I'm still not seeing my children, and you two have were very good for me on that day, and I continue to pray daily about this. I'm spending time with my children in counseling sessions, but it's really not going very well. And I think the crux of the matter is when you talk about forgiveness, and my ex-spouse does not know how to forgive. So I'm, you know, stuck in a process that's going extremely slow with our counselors and stuff. But their message to me is the same that you folks have echoed, is to not give up and to keep trying. I think where we went in retrospect after going through books and learning and stuff, I think a key point for our problem with the children is that there were parenting expectations that were not spoken. And I think my ex-spouse assumed that I knew what her parenting expectations were, and I'm the guy that just kind of goes by the seat of my pants. So when we started to have trouble with the kids, bouncing back and forth, and I didn't really even have any parenting expectations, and that caused a lot of problems in our situation. But again, I think this book that Tammy wrote has been a phenomenal help to me, and I can't control that she can't forgive me, but I certainly can continue to try to make this work. So I just wanted to call in and give you guys kudos for having this topic on. Yeah.
Mike, bless you. And remember, everybody, I mean, people wrote in, listeners, going, I'm pulling for Mike. I'm praying for him. And Tammy, I don't know if you remember when he called and you said, fight for those children. Do you remember that
yes.
a year ago? Wow.
Yes, I do. And I'm trying not to get choked up as I think about that. And Mike, sometimes the court systems, the counseling process, that can feel very slow. And it is very frustrating at times. But I do continue to say, keep walking that journey, show up at every opportunity possible in the counseling session, if they give you the opportunity to come to school events, to, you know, even at a distance, to let your kids know that you're showing up and you're trying to be in their life. That will matter to them more than anything in the long run. And you know, for the issue of forgiveness, it is a long road. Sometimes it's twice as long for one person as it is for another. And a lot of our pain, you know, the way we even process pain comes from how we were taught to process it, or maybe no tools to process. So, you know, it's a hard thing to say, but I encourage you to pray for your ex-wife, pray for your children, continue to show up and be as positive and engaged as possible. You know, send cards, send it, whatever you can send to tangibly remind your kids you love them. And over time, I hope a year from now, you'll have even more of a praise report that things have progressed forward. And but I just encourage you to keep showing up and stay engaged and be patient with the process. But do your part, as you're obviously doing.
And I just want to say a quick prayer for Mike's ex-wife. And, Lord, I just pray you'd put people in her life, Lord, to lead her to you and to lead her through the process of forgiveness for her own soul, for the sake of her kids, for the sake of her kid's dad. And I just pray that you would bring unity where there hasn't been, and you'd make a way where there is no way for Mike to be involved. And we just bless our brother Mike, and we do bless his ex-wife, and ask that you'd bring healing in this place in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, Tammy, that brings up a question I was going to ask later on in the program. But, you know, for co-parenting to work, it seems anyway, that you've got to have two people who go, okay, we have to agree. We have to put the needs of our kids ahead of our angst. But what if you have somebody who's just downright impossible? What do you do?
Right. Well, again, there are a couple things here. In the book, we actually have a whole chapter on, you know, what to do when your co-parent won't cooperate. A different chapter on what, you know, when the wheels come completely off. We also have two different chapters, one on abandonment. You know, what if you're co-parenting alone, if the other person has completely checked out, maybe they're not available, or maybe they live, you know, across town and they just choose not to participate. And then there's a whole chapter on what to do when your ex is unsafe, because many people are co-parenting with someone who can't be trusted to be emotionally or physically safe with the children. So in answering that question, that's a pretty deep, ongoing conversation. But I would say, you know, there's at least one parent having the perspective that I want to do what is best for these children. I will be as selfless in a healthy, reasonable way as possible to try and communicate and begin to build the bridge with the other parent. There's a chapter in here on how to take the initiative to building a cooperative co-parenting partnership. And that, you know, that can start with maybe an email with a couple links to some of our resources. Maybe that's a phone call that is a humble request to begin the conversation. You know, we try to help parents find ways to communicate that are compartmentalized. And one of the ways we found that is helpful is when co-parents have co-parent meetings. And so we've got, you know, several ideas in here on how to begin the conversation of, you know, would you just sit down with me for an hour? Let's talk about two or three of these things. We both love these children, but the children need us to be in communication. And so we kind of go through that in the book in a deeper way, but it is hard. And it's not, you know, I worked with a couple recently that they felt, you know, one of the co-parents felt that all hope was lost, and the other one was willing to work with them. And so we looked at what they call the five categories of co-parenting. And in this case, we discovered that one of them thought they were dissolved duos and there was no hope to communicate, and the other was willing to cooperate. And just giving them some language to understand where they are, maybe where the other person is, and how to point towards being cooperative, it seemed to be a very helpful beginning for them. So I, you know, on our website, we have several free downloads. You don't have to buy the book to get some of these nuggets. There's a document on the website called The Five Categories of Co-Parenting. I would encourage someone who's listening who really wants to start this journey to go and to look at those documents, download them, consider sharing them with the other co-parent. That PDF that's on the website has a little questionnaire on it, you know, asking you, where do you think you're at today? Where do you think your ex thinks you are? And what do you both think would be best for kids? And the common theme, even angry parents, I believe even angry parents both love their children. And if you can try to focus towards that and have some baby steps towards communication, I do believe there's hope.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but I do believe there's hope.
Indeed. We've got Vicki calling in from St. Paul. If you've got a question about co-parenting, now's the time to pick up the phone, 877-933-2484. Vicki, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am a grandparent, so I'm one level removed from many situations. But how do I help my grandchildren when they have one parent that's very angry and poisoning minds, and the other parent that is trying, and the kids come and just, it's not fair, Nana, it's not fair, and really angry. Mm. How do I as a grandparent help?
Wow, good question.
Well, I would say, you know, you're not too far removed. I think you could maybe become a voice of wisdom in that difficult dynamic. I would highly suggest that you either pick up the book or go to the website and download the free information there. One of the things there, Vicki, is called the top 10 things that kids of divorce wish they could say to their parents. It's just one piece of paper, and it, in working with kids and teens in different settings, we've kind of gathered this common thread of what kids wish they could say to mom and dad. And that might be a piece of paper that you could share with both of those parents. And you could just simply say, you know, I happened to hear a woman talking about co-parenting. I looked at the free resources and just, you know, would you each take a look at this one piece of paper? Maybe that's the beginning of a conversation that, you know, it's, you know, the one that's angry may or may not take it to heart. But I promise if they even read the number one thing on that list, what they will hear is, don't say mean things about my other parent. I want and need to love you both. The second one says, when you criticize my other parent, it makes me angry at you. And it goes on from there. So I would encourage you, Vicki, to try to get some of those resources in front of both of them and, you know, reiterate that you love them both, that you care about both of them, that you're not wanting to get in the middle of their war, but that you're trying to help them understand how painful it is for their children.
Vicki, you will get a copy of Tammy's book, so we'll get that in the mail to you actually tomorrow. Talking to Tammy Daughtry about co-parenting works, helping your children thrive after divorce. In fact, I'm very curious about those top tens. So when we come back, Tammy, I'd love for you just to read those from a
sure.
child's perspective. But you also have in the book tips from the child's perspective. Don't put us in the middle. Be available. We're going to go through some of those as well. Just helping kids, helping parents understand what kids go through when the parents divorce. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
One of the difficulties of blended families is divided loyalties of the children involved.
Thanks so much for tuning in. That's my friend Sarah Grove singing Setting Up the Pins and Knocking Them Down. That song is all about just the wild adventure of parenting. And if you've never seen her music video, it's just doing the laundry, kissing her kids, sending them out the door. And I imagine it's even twice the work when you've got kids going back and forth between parents. In fact, this is a testimony from someone who attended one of Tammy's seminars. It was amazing. It says, immediately after the co-parenting seminar, I went to my son's soccer game. For the first time in 6 years, I sat on the same side of the field as my ex-wife. I realized that part of co-parenting is about getting out of my own comfort zone so my son won't feel so divided. He came off the field and was able to give us both high fives instead of having to choose which parent to go to first. I had no idea how much I was hurting him all these years. And even that listener who said the divided loyalty thing. Boy, there's so much that kids deal with that probably don't even enter the minds of those who are battling out a divorce.
Right. Right. And that's the thing, Susie, most times, and I understand this. I mean, I walked the journey as a divorcing parent. Most times in the separation, the first year or two after, you're so focused as a parent on what hurt from the past, what wasn't fair and just, and how are you going to survive the future, that sometimes we forget that our kids are hurting, our kids are grieving, and that they need us to see them and to help them with their pain. And unfortunately, many parents, when they're angry, they use the kid as a pawn or as a, a point of pain towards the ex by either telling them negative words about the other parent, withholding the child from, seeing the other parent, undermining that other parent, saying negative things about them. And all the while, the parents are thinking, I want my child to like me the most. I'm going to be the hero because the other parent hurt me so deeply. But unfortunately, in the long run, those kids will grow up and resent the parent who is bad-mouthing the other parent. They'll resent the parent who didn't get on with their stability. They'll resent the parent who stayed angry.
Yeah.
So our hope is that we will be able to speak to these angry parents and encourage them to find support and healthy ways to deal with that so that they'll be free, their kids can be free, and that 20 years from now, their children will look back and say, my parents divorced, but I knew they both loved me. My parents divorced, but I had lots of, freedom back and forth between their homes. My parents divorced, but it didn't ruin my life.
Yeah.
That's what we want these children to say.
And I would bet that to be able to say, I never got the sense that my mom was afraid for me to love my dad. And that mm-hmm. feels so important. In fact, I so appreciate in your book where you're saying, and you were honest about this. Yes, the temptation was there to try to create a home that was so much better than her dad's home so that she just want to be with me. But I want to do that for the right reasons. I want to create a right home and a good, this is my paraphrase of what you're saying, but I want to do this because it's right to create a beautiful home and to love my daughter, but not as a manipulative endeavor to get her to prefer my home. It goes
exactly
all the way down to motive in the deepest ways, doesn't it?
Yes, it's all about the motive of the heart. And, and when we talk about the child's heart, one of the messages, the phrases that I've been saying for years is that children of divorce, they have one heart and two homes. One heart, two homes. And parents will either help keep that heart whole by being intentional with co-parenting, protecting the children in the divorce process, being willing to work with the other parent and not put the child in the middle, or they'll take that heart and they will pull it apart and shred it even deeper. And, in counseling, we talk about the divided self, the issue of, not just your loyalty, but the core of who you are as a being. When mom and dad are completely against each other, they're very vocal to you about how much they dislike the other. The divided self takes a child to a very confusing place. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they've come from because it's nothing but negative and harsh language. So, in our one heart, two homes concept, that's just something to remember. These children will come and go, whether it's every other weekend or once a month or 50-50, however the time is split, they only have one heart. And what moms and dads can do to minimize the pain so they come and go between them freely, that is what makes the long-term difference for these children.
So, Tammy, talk about those top 10 things that children want us to know that you mentioned prior
yes.
to the break, if you don't mind.
Love to. Well, the number one thing is don't say mean things about my other parent. I want and need to love you both.
Hmm.
Number two, when you criticize my other parent, it makes me angry at you. Number three, don't make me pick who I want to spend time with. It's not fair, and I will get hurt if you do that. And don't keep track of my time like I'm on the clock.
Wow.
It can't always be 100% fair. Please just love me when we're together and don't make me feel bad about not spending the same amount of time with each of you. Number four, handle your financial conversations in private. I don't want to hear about it, and I do not want to be your messenger. Number five, don't use money to win my love. Be a stable and loving parent, and I will love you no matter who has the most money. Number six, don't keep me from seeing the other parent. If you do, I'll grow up and resent you. Number seven, get a counselor to help you with your problems. I need you to be strong and stable for my well-being. I don't want to hear about your dating or your disappointments. I don't want to hear about your problems at work or how much we're struggling financially. Talk to someone else. I need you to be my parent and mentor and to lead me in the way you want me to grow up. Don't make me your parent. Number eight, the harder you make it on my other parent, the harder you are making it on me.
Wow.
Number nine, laugh and smile. I want to enjoy my life, and your mood impacts my mood. Find a way to be happy and enjoy your life. I need to have fun and enjoyable memories with you. And number 10, don't forget that I have a divided heart now. I live between two completely different houses, rules, traditions, and attitudes. Be patient with me when I forget things or I need some time to adjust between house to house. Please buy me enough stuff so I don't have to live out of a suitcase my entire life. If you want me to feel at home in both places, please set up a home for me, even if I'm only there a few days a month. Things like toothbrushes, shoes, clothes, my favorite cereal, a poster on the wall, having cool decor in my room, these things all help me feel welcomed and at home in both homes. Don't compete or argue about these things, but just help me not to feel like a visitor when I'm with either parent. Please make it as easy on me as possible.
That's just absolutely amazing when you think about that and how those things could so not happen if you're not intentional, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, kids never have their own language or courage to say this stuff to their parents. And most of this content came from young adults looking back on their childhood. And they were, you know, maybe in their mid-20s before they could really articulate, man, I wish I could have asked my mom, quit being mad at my dad, you know, or I wish my dad would have not made it hard on my mom. These are things kids just, they struggle with internally, and they most likely will never have the courage to say it when they're living with you. And sometimes they can't even figure out how to say it when they're gone to college. So this is important for moms and dads to really to take ownership of, to dig in and try to think, wow, how do I impact that for my child? What have I done that has divided their heart? What can I do to minimize the divide? And to be very, very, very intentional with how they, not just how they talk about the other person, but what their tone of voice is, what their body language is like when they're both around. One of the biggest things, Susie, that we really ask parents to do is be careful of how they handle the handoff. You know, that's a tough thing for kids when they're little, even when they're teenagers, whether it's, you know, at the front door of dad's house, the 7-Eleven parking lot, you know, Walmart, wherever they handle the handoff. That is an incredibly difficult thing for kids. And some parents will use that to be the time they talk about child support or they, you know, well, where's this? Where's that? Why didn't you answer my email about this? They'll try to do their co-parent communication at the handoff. And that's one of the biggest messages we ask divorced parents to not do, to not discuss co-parenting information at the handoff. Let that be as simple, as low stress, as neutral, as humanly possible, and then find other ways in private to communicate when the kids are not present.
I mean, you think about how amped up that child will feel and how really even unfair it is when they're going to the next parent when they've been in the middle of a conflict and they're hearing all this administrative conversation and it's probably laced with tension. what that, I mean, and they feel like I'm the cause of this because I'm the baton, right? And
yes.
So, I mean, all of the messages that would go in and be so, so painful. You know, I think though about, I know, people who've been on the receiving end where the spouse runs off with someone who's 20 years younger and that spouse is left back devastated and somehow they've got to navigate and their heart has been ripped in two. To me, it is downright heroic. If that person can achieve this, I know it's possible. I've seen it done. But wow, is it hard to watch when someone's been, you know, run over like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that is, again, one of the hardest scenarios to show up and be positive as a co-parent is when you have not only been rejected, but you've been abandoned, and that other person may now be the new step-parent in the other household.
Yeah.
That is hard. I will say, though, to that person, it is still possible for you to be stable and to move forward in your own stability and create a new life for yourself, one that your children can enjoy and celebrate. And 20 years forward, when those kids look back, they will make their own assumptions and decisions about what their parents did. They'll most likely have an opinion about the one that had an affair and left. But if they look back on the other parent and remember that, you know, that parent kept food on the table, kept taking us to the, you know, ball games, kept taking us to ballet, they kept showing up, they kept doing the things that families do, even in a single parent family, that will be the strength that the kids look back on and admire the most.
Yeah. And that's where they have to think long, don't they? Because in the moment, I'm sure it is tempting to want to say, you know, he's the one or she's the one who put us in this position. But to be considering the kids, considering family, guarding your heart, and to think long, that stuff does shake out eventually because they do grow up and they get minds of their own and they figure some of that stuff out. And you hear some of these professional athletes who talk about their mama who hung in there as a single parent. And you know what I mean? And they become heroes. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and a lot of times it's the dad that's the hero.
Yes,
you know, I don't ever want to anyone to assume I'm pro mom or against dad. There are so many dads that have been a hero in their kids' lives when they were left and abandoned, and they have shown up and they have made a radical difference in how their children grow up because they stayed engaged and they love their kids.
Such an important point. Really glad you made that. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If you've got a question or even a story about how you navigated these waters of co-parenting, when we come back, we're going to talk about how you do handle that handoff in a way that is helpful for everybody. Don't go away. More with Tammy Daughtry in just a minute.
Thing about co-parenting, I would think, would be when one individual is not committed to carrying their weight.
Through my jaded eyes, I get frustrated when there is no why. I put my focus on worthless things, even the strong fall to their knees.
So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Tammy Daughtry about co-parenting and really not only keeping the kids in mind, but dealing with your heart, because you can imagine what goes on in your heart when a marriage is broken up and how that can so spill over onto the kids. And so there's a way to handle it. In her book, Co-Parenting Works, she really does walk you through so much of that. Now is the time. It's our last segment for you to get a call. And if you've got a question, 877-933-2484 or email Susie at myfaithradio.com. And I'm so glad you made the point that, you know, men are the heroes and women are the heroes because it's not one-sided in this thing. And so sometimes that dad is left holding the bag and he's trying to do it all. And I know a man just like that, and it's painful. But no matter what, when you're dropping off the kids and you go back to an empty house, you recognize the potential for your heart to just, you know, to go into the ditch, basically. And you kind of give some advice here, four things that are really key that I'd love to focus on. One is focusing on God's faithfulness. Say a word about that.
Well, when we prepare ourselves to send our kids away, that can be very emotionally difficult for a parent. and remembering that God is faithful, and we are never alone. We may walk back into a home with no children, but He's there. He's present. And remembering that when our kids are with a parent that loves them, if the kids are okay, then I can be okay. And I can trust that that God is going to work out this journey for my children, and I can actually give myself the freedom and permission to enjoy some downtime. You know, that's one perspective that co-parents don't think about in the beginning. They're thinking, oh, I can't stand the idea of being away from my children for more than a day. And I understand that. I miss my daughter when she's away. But having what I call a fun plan, being intentional on what you plan to do when the children leave, even the very moment they're gone. You know, I remember the first long Christmas that Angelia was leaving for 10 days. I had a friend over. We went to a dollar movie. I didn't have a lot of extra money, but I made myself a fun plan because I never wanted Angelia to leave and to feel responsible for my happiness. I didn't want her to sense that I wouldn't be okay. And I didn't want her to try to go to her dad's and wonder, gosh, is my mommy all right? Because kids that grow up with that kind of burden, I mean, that's hard on kids. So a couple other logistical things about the handoff that I want to point out quickly, I know we're running out of time, is not just how you prepare yourself as the adult to handle that handoff, but how you prepare the children. And a mom or dad and their tone of voice and what they're saying to their children as the other parents coming to get them, that is very, very important to handle well and to be intentional. And I try, and Angelia is 14 now, and this is just part of the rhythm of our life. But when she was little and her dad was coming, I was really intentional to say words with a positive tone of voice, you know, to encourage her and say, Angelia, I am so glad you're going to see Daddy. I know you're going to have a great weekend with Daddy. I know you're going to, you know, enjoy seeing your grandparents in Georgia. I was very intentional because what I wanted to do was give her permission to go and to be free and to enjoy the time she was with her dad. That wasn't from a motive of having, the motive was all about her. It wasn't anything about him or unresolved feelings for him. It was trying to release her with freedom to be excited she's going where she's going and to be able to go forward and be there and just to enjoy the process as a kid. And you know, being, again, like you said, these are hard places for parents to show up, and sometimes you really have to fake it. You might have had a really hard phone call with the person earlier in the day and you're still angry, but when you're both there handling the handoff, being as positive as you can is important for kids. And keeping those exchanges brief, you know, helping them take their things to the car. I know some parents won't even walk their children to the door because they're so mad at the other person. And they, you know, a 4 or 5-year-old child will have to get out of one car and walk carrying a suitcase or a little bag up to the door alone. You know, thinking about what can I do to make this as easy for my kids as possible? It's not about me as a parent. It's about my children. And the other real quick thing is, you know, the communication that, I mean, you have to communicate as a co-parent. Sometimes you have to ask, okay, who's going to pay for camp? Who's going to pick up the volleyball shoes? Who's going to sign up for swimming lessons? The communication, instead of doing it at that handoff, could be done in what I would call a co-parenting meeting, either over the phone when the children are asleep or away where they won't hear it, through email. You can do a lot through email with exchanging ideas and getting feedback, or in a best-case scenario, in a neutral public setting for maybe a 1 or 2 hour period a couple times a year. And that is eventually what we started doing, was we had co-parenting meetings at a McDonald's down the road while Angelia was at ballet, and probably once a month at the beginning and eventually a couple times a year. We bring our calendars, we bring our notes, and we have conversations that are about co-parenting. We've never done that at the doorstep, and in 14 years, she has never, ever been exposed to an argument or a disagreement during the handoff. And we've had plenty of things like that at our co-parenting meetings, because those, you know, you're trying to make parenting decisions with someone who sees differently than you, has different values, maybe has different priorities. That's hard stuff. But we have protected our daughter by never doing that at the doorstep or at the Walmart parking lot. Instead, we do it on purpose in a private way.
So this is really good. Before we go through the next three bullets that you list in the book, I just am curious, how has your daughter or your ex-husband said anything about your posture to just be so determined to do this right? It sounds like your ex has the same conviction now, but this could have gone a lot of different ways for him. I'm wondering, he's got to be grateful, and I'm sure she is too, but have they ever expressed that to you just because you've worked so hard to guard your heart and sort this stuff out to do this the right way?
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter, I asked her about a year ago to read that top 10 list at a meeting where I was speaking. I was helping parents prepare for Christmas holiday and how to exchange kids at Christmas. And I asked her, hey, will you come up and just read this list for me? You know, I had 20 minutes and I wanted her to just take a little bit and read that from a child's voice. So we stepped in the bathroom and we were rehearsing it. And I said, you sure you're okay with reading that? She's like, yeah, Mom, I got this. I love it. She loves being on stage. But I'll tell you, the moment that was memorable for me in a way I can't even put in words hardly. After she'd read through it twice out loud to get used to what she was saying, she just looked at me. She goes, Mom, I'll read this, but you and Dad don't do this to me. I can't relate to any of this.
Wow.
And that was the moment that I knew we were doing something right. Mm-hmm. We couldn't give her a traditional family with the white picket fence, but we were doing a lot of things right, even though it was hard. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there has been a few of those times where I know that I know that her life story is radically different than many children of divorce and so much more improved than mine was. And for her dad, I'll say, you know, these co-parenting meetings honestly have given he and I a place to communicate, a process with boundaries. And the best part is, I realized about 5 years ago, when we show up at school or we show up at a volleyball game or a ballet recital, we know that we can just go be the parent. We're not there to try to, you know, have a side conversation in the hallway or try to sit in the stands and talk about child support or, you know, who's going to pay for summer camp. We already have a system in place. So it gives us the freedom to just show up and be the parent.
That is,
and that has been just... I know that John appreciates it, and I know I do. And now we're both remarried. I know our spouses appreciate it, too.
Wow, that's so good. We just have a moment before we have to pray. But your next three bullets are write a thank you letter to God, keep things in perspective, ask your friends to hold you accountable. With just a moment left, just maybe touch on those. I know that's kind of hard to do in a short amount of time, but all of these really are getting your heart before the Lord and keeping your eyes fixed on Him. Just say a word about that before we pray.
Well, I would encourage parents of any scenario to have what I call 3 a.m. friends. Have healthy, godly people in your life who will listen, who will love you, who will be kind of the guardrails of your soul, especially during the dark beginning of a post-divorce life. Because none of this can be done alone. We can't do it alone as an individual. We can't do it without God. And we especially need our brothers and sisters to walk with us and to stay close in these times of pain and being very careful to pick healthy, godly people to be those standby, close friends. That made all the difference for me in how I processed everything, was just knowing I had 3 people I could go to day or night that would love me, would listen, and who would also take all of these things to the Lord, and that together we would figure out what then to do.
You know, I've not walked, my parents were married all the way up till my dad died, and so I've not had the experience with divorce. But I do know just that anybody in any situation, when we rehash our losses and rehash our disappointments, we're digging ourselves into a hole. And so I loved the challenge to write a thank you letter to God, especially after the handoff, because then you're really remembering there are still good things in my life. I have lots to be thankful for, and it resets your perspective. I think that's just great wisdom. Well, Tammy, this has been really such an important time, and I'm wondering if you'd pray for that parent listening today who's just like Mike, just feeling stuck and wanting to get to a place where they can hit a stride for the sake of the kids.
Sure. Lord, I just thank you for anyone listening that is seeking, struggling, and asking these questions. How do I keep showing up? Life is hard. It is so different than I had hoped. But God, I just pray that in your unique way, you would give insight and hope and deep comfort that these people would remember that you are with them. You will never leave them. You will never forsake them. You go before and behind, that you are their portion. You are their provider. And God, let them just simply rejoice in the joy of being a parent, to have brought a child into the world, even into a hard situation, and give them wisdom and how to keep loving and expressing love, even when it's hard, Lord. Give them the courage and the sustaining love to keep showing up. Lord, you are unfaithful. You love us with an unfaithful, never-ending love. Help us all to have the long-term vision of how consistent love from a parent does matter and will matter for the child's entire life. In Jesus' name,
amen. Tammy, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your wisdom so very much.
Thank you, Susie. God bless.
Good to be with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Find a podcast of today's interview on our website at myfaithradio.com. God bless you. We'll meet you back here next time.